لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praises due to Allah. يا شيخ بارك الله فيك. السلام عليكم. Thank you, Habibi. We praise Allah. Don't worry about it. It's okay. We praise Allah the way He deserves to be praised. We seek His forgiveness. We ask for Allah's assistance. Verily, whomever Allah guides to Islam, no one can misguide. Whomever Allah deprives from entering into Islam because they don't want to become Muslims, then no one will be able to guide. And I bear witness that there is no deity, no God that is worthy of our worship except Allah, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is simply His slave and His messenger who came and confirmed all the previous messages. The Shaykh, I missed him, alhamdulillah, I was happy he came back, we haven't seen him in a few Fridays, was discussing, waalaikum salam wa rahmatullah. He started out his khutbah saying that the religion of Islam is the most complete of all religions that are out there, and it is upon a Muslim, Islam, submission to the will of Allah, Muslim, the one who is in a state of submission. Okay, like the things that end with ER. Read, reader. Drive, driver. طيب. Kill, killer. Oh no, we don't want to play with that one. But anyways, ER, in English, in Arabic, you add a meme in the beginning. Adhan, muadhin. Islam, Muslim. So a Muslim is the person in a state of submission. When we are in a state of submission, that means we're doing everything that Allah commanded, we're staying away from everything that Allah forbade. So the Shaykh wanted to deal with a part of Islam that a lot of Muslims, particularly born Muslims, don't really practice. They don't really use, which is a calamity. Because A, it makes a lot of people not enter into Islam. B, they're gaining the sin of not conducting themselves according to the Islamic teachings. So the Shaykh mentioned five things that are part of the Muslim character that a lot of Muslims have ignored in this day and time. Yeah, Shaykh. MashaAllah, you're big without standing on the chair. Barakallah. You must be a technician or something. Anyways, he is, huh? Jazakallahu khairan. It's the tea you keep drinking, that's all. So anyways, what are these characters that a Muslim is supposed to have? Character number one, Al-Hilm. And now it's a rough trying to find an English word that translate or is equal to an Arabic word, because the Arabic is much more rich. So sometimes you have to use a whole bunch of English words or even a sentence to explain one Arabic word. So the way to explain Hilm is basically being kind and pardoning, to pardon people. يعني let go. يعني somebody does this Hilm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised His messenger Abraham with this quality alayhi salatu wasalam, that he was Halim. He used to forgive. Actually, he had a lot of other qualities where he would never eat on his own. Anytime he would eat, he would go in the street and he would wait till he sees some people passing by, say, come on, eat with me. Because he didn't like to eat on his own. He had a lot of qualities. All the messengers of Allah are special. Anyways, Hilm is something that a Muslim needs to practice. And it is basically the opposite of anger. A person who doesn't practice Hilm is a person who gets angry over every little thing. So, any little thing, alaykum salam, faddal. Ahlan, ahlan. So any little thing will cause him to be irritated. Anything you say, he's always mad and angry. This particular quality is not the quality that a Muslim is supposed to have. Why? Because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna ma alaykum salam wa rahmatullah." 5 riyal late fee from now on. 5 riyal. Or you bring full tamiz worth of 5 riyal, that's also fine. So everybody can eat. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, in a narration, "Inna ma bu'ithtu li utammima makarim al akhlaq." I have only been sent in order to complete, in order to perfect the good character. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran spoke about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And verily you are upon a great character. يعني the way he alayhi salatu wa sallam used to be, he was very soft. He would pardon people. So much so that an Arab Bedouin, and you know the Arab Bedouins had a special case then, because they were the people of the city who were a little more civilized, and there were those who all they knew was camel, sheep, and sand. So they had a little rough attitude. So one of them came into the masjid, he found a corner in the masjid and he went and started peeing. So the companions are like, "What is this guy doing? You can't be urinating in the masjid, man. You gotta urinate somewhere else." So anyways, they got up to beat up this man or stop him to a certain extent. I mean, he doesn't know any better. The Bedouin is ignorant. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Leave him. Leave him. Let him finish." So when he finished, he approached this man. He said, "This is the house of Allah, a place of remembrance of Allah and glorifying Allah. Any of these kind of activities don't belong over here." And the Prophet ﷺ, this man was overwhelmed with this treatment. And the scholars say there's a lot of wisdom behind that particular act. I'll give you an example. I know this is weird. Let's say you are peeing. Let's say you're standing in a corner urinating and a dog comes to bite you. And you have to run away from him while you're urinating. You're going to spread this urine a few feet before you're able to stop yourself and continue running without, before you finish. So had they went to him and tried to stop him, he would have... No problem. In the midst of the battle between them, he would have spread his urine all over the place. On the contrary, the Prophet ﷺ, he got one corner, khalas, it's already najasa, it's already impure. He told him afterwards, just get some water, pour it on it, because water purifies impurity. Also, this man, had they mistreated him, he would have said, "What's the matter with these people?" You know, he doesn't know any better, he's ignorant. So the Prophet ﷺ, his hilm was that he pardoned this man, let it go. The other quality that a Muslim is expected to possess, alaykum salam, the other quality that a Muslim is expected to possess is al-anat, which is basically being slow motion. And what is intended by slow motion meaning thinking before you act, taking it easy. You know, the people are different. There are the people who just want everything done all at the same time right away. Just fast, 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 fast. And there's the other quality of slow down, rationalize, think, and make correct decisions. The Prophet ﷺ said in the narration, being like that is from Allah. Yani, is a gift from Allah. Being able to take it easy, evaluate, and make judgment like that in a patient manner is from Allah. And being hasty, quick trying to get things done, is from the shaitan. So among the qualities that we as Muslims are expected to possess is that we take it easy and we don't get things done. For example, a lot of you accepted Islam. Now you have family members who are still non-Muslims. You want everybody to be a Muslim in 10 minutes. You grab everyone and say, "Look, la ilaha illallah, this is the truth, what you're upon is kufr and disbelief, you go into the fire, is everybody ready to accept Islam?" Like, what are you talking about, man? No, So what's the matter with you guys? All of you going to the fire. I'm the only one going to paradise. Yeah, Sheikh, take it easy, man. Take it easy on these people slowly but surely. You give them da'wah first, being nice. You have to use wisdom of how to bring it. You just want to do everything quickly. You want everybody to be a Muslim in 15 minutes. It might not happen. And so we are supposed to be patient and show them Islam through our actions and then with our statements. But to talk a whole bunch of lot and do nothing about it is also just hypocrisy. Islam teaches that we pray 5 times a day. You didn't pray earlier. Yeah, but you know. Show me you, but either you do what you say you're following or you have problems. So anyways, implementation is very important when given da'wah. We don't just want to talk and then we're still bad people. We have to fix ourselves first. And then give da'wah according to our good conduct. Because they will see the difference in you. They see, man, this person used to, you know, get drunk every Friday, and now he doesn't. And he used to, you know, holler at females walking down the street, now he lowers his gaze. And he used to, you know, whatever, now he does whatever. They will see that there's a problem with you, according to them. According to us, it's a blessing from Allah that you have become a decent human being, after you were just foolish. Anyways, so the second quality is taking it easy. The third quality is gentleness. And he had another khutbah about gentleness before, I don't know if you remember. Al-rifq, being gentle. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he would send some of his companions to other tribes to give them da'wah, he will say to them, بَشِّرُوا يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا. Make things easy for the people, don't make things difficult. وَبَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا. Give people glad tidings, don't scare them away. And do not have issues with one another, but agree. Don't dispute among each other. So anyways, they were commanded to be gentle. And the Prophet ﷺ said, anytime gentleness is added to an action, it beautifies it. Anytime gentleness is taken out of an action, it makes it ugly. And he ﷺ said in another narration, that if Allah intends good for the household, for one household of Muslims, then he will put gentleness among them. Where the husband will treat his wife with gentleness, and the wife will treat her husband with gentleness, and they will treat their children with gentleness, and there will be gentleness among everyone in the house. You know, rather than a man walking in with an Uzi, and the woman is waiting with a grenade, as soon as she comes in, she throws it. Poof, where were you? You know? Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. I'm not trying to shoot you, Sheikh. Then he shoots some bullets in the house. Don't talk to me! I'm a man! Don't tell me where I were, I ask you where you were. Take it easy, Sheikh. This is not what the Prophet ﷺ used to do anyways. He would come to the house, he would kiss his wife, he would, even the silliest thing. You know, women have things that to us are unimportant. You have all these things you worry about, your boss is telling you, I'm going to kick you out of this job, and you have many things to worry about, and she's there telling you, see this spoon? It's not the right spoon. The one that I needed was the one that has an extra inch. You're like, what? Please, take the spoons, go away. No, that's not what the Prophet ﷺ would do. He would actually, listen, let her, this is important to her, out of her being kind to her, is that you make things that are important to her, important to you, even if to you these are the silliest thing in the world. And usually they are. So he said, oh wow, subhanAllah, maybe I should go and exchange this spoon for you. We'll make sure that next time we'll get the right side. She'll get all happy, excited, oh man, this is great, what a life. And you really didn't do nothing besides just يعني, went along. Anyways, this is gentleness in the household. So sometimes we forget and we get all this mannish, you know, we have a lot of testosterone, whatever they call this thing, and we feel that, you know, we have to be a commander in chief in the house, running commands like a general. Sit, get up, go, move, and stuff like that. Anyways, the Prophet ﷺ used to fix his own thawb. If there was a hole in it, he would sew his own thawb. He would clean his own stuff. And when the time of the salah came, he wouldn't talk to nobody. As soon as the mu'adhin called the adhan, he will be with the people talking and chit-chatting and working. As soon as the adhan be called, he get up and leave. Because it's time for the worship of Allah in the masjid. There's no time for us to be having chit-chatting anymore. Anyways, hopefully we will benefit from these reminders. Quality number 4. Oh man, this happened again. Where's the brother who always helps us out?
We had two of them before. Al-Hilm, Al-Anad. This is a problem when Al-Hilm, Al-Anad, Al-Rifq. Yes, alhamdulillah. Quality number four is if two Muslims, for whatever reason, dispute, not to over exaggerate the dispute and blow things out of proportion. And actually this is among the qualities of the hypocrite. Because you know we have major hypocrisy. Major hypocrisy if somebody enters into Islam for some benefit. And inside he does not believe. So maybe if he's a non-Muslim, they give him 7 days of work. He knows if he becomes Muslim, he'll take Friday off. They let him go at the Salah time. Say, oh Allah, this looks like it's going to work out for me. Maybe they give me a bonus. So say, okay, where's the markaz? He come over here, say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah. He come into Islam for yallah, some worthy benefit. This person is worse than a disbeliever. He will be in the lowest part of the hellfire on the Day of Judgment. Because he's fake. And he's coming around believers pretending to be one of them and inside he is not. So he causes more harm than somebody who's carrying the cross telling you, I'm a Christian. You know who he is, what might come from him. But this one who comes inside and try to play around like a snake, big problem. Anyways, hopefully nobody we know is like that. The second kind of hypocrisy, which is not that high, is where you are still a believer, but you have qualities of hypocrisy. What are the qualities of hypocrisy? If you promise people, you betray. Brother, I'll be there at 5 o'clock, he's still waiting at 6:30, you haven't showed up. Whether this is a Saudi habit, or a Filipino habit, or a Chinese habit, everybody blames his culture. Oh, all Filipinos are there. Ashraf, don't tell me all Filipinos. You are Muslim, you are Muslim before Filipino. If you are supposed to keep your promises, put the culture aside, come on time. Whether you're Saudi or any other thing, it doesn't matter now. What matters is if we give a promise, we are expected to show up on time. And any promise that we give in general. The other quality that if he speaks, he lies. If you trust him with something, he betrays you. And the fourth quality, if he disputes, he blows things out of proportion. He over-exaggerates, makes a big deal. You have a little issue, he starts screaming, bah, bah, say, take it easy, slow down. Anyways, you see people with crazy stuff, man. Anyways, so this kind of, may Allah protect us from deviance. This kind of quality, we're not supposed to have. On the other hand, we're supposed to facilitate and make sure everything is smooth, soft, while having good character, good conduct, being gentle with the people, Muslims or non-Muslims. Just because we became believers and we think that they're disbelievers doesn't mean that you go and treat them roughly. You're only going to push them away further. You're going to push them away from Islam. On the other hand, you do what the Prophet ﷺ used to do. You know what he used to do? There was a Jewish boy who would go pick up his trash and put it at the doorstep of the Prophet ﷺ out of hatred. Every day, he'd get his trash, personal trash. He wouldn't take it to the dumpster, I don't know whether they had one, whatever they would throw their trash. He would go and put it in front of the door of the Prophet ﷺ. So one time the Messenger ﷺ came out of his house, he didn't find the trash. So he knew who it was, by the way. He knew who was putting the trash. So he was concerned. So he went to his house to visit him. He went to the house to visit the boy. How come he didn't leave the trash? Something must be wrong. So he found out that the boy was sick. And he was actually on his deathbed, dying. So the Prophet ﷺ walked in on him. And he told him, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Say there's no God worthy of worship but Allah. Basically, accept Islam. So the boy, the father of the boy was around. Now pay attention to this narration. The father was there. So the boy looked at his father as seeking a response. For he told him, Atir, Abu al-Qasim. Obey the Abu al-Qasim, which was the kunya, the nickname of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this boy uttered the shahada and died. Now notice, a Jew, this is his son dying, طيب, but because they knew that the Messenger of Allah was the Messenger of Allah. But they wouldn't accept it out of worldly pleasure. He knew that his son, if he died as a Jew, would be in trouble. So he told his son to obey the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, accept Islam, because he knew it was the truth. And because they honored the Muhammad, they honored the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was respected among the believers and the disbelievers. That's why they hated him so much, those who disbelieved in him. Because they knew him, that he was a trustworthy, he was honest, he wasn't a fabricator, and he wasn't a magician, and he wasn't a poet, all these things that they attributed to him. They knew that he was a righteous man, even before Islam. So anyways, this is how the Prophet ﷺ used to be while dealing with people. There might be another thing that the Shaykh mentioned as a quality which I cannot recall right now. So that doesn't matter anymore. But generally, the advice here is that we Muslims need to implement the teachings of Islam, specifically things that have to do with our character, because it is not just doing salah, fasting in Ramadan, paying charity. These are acts of worship, and the way you act as a Muslim is an act of worship, and da'wah is with that, giving invitation, inviting people into the religion of Allah so they will save themselves from the fire, is first and foremost the way you conduct yourself. Because people look at actions more than statements. You come over here with an earring and you say, don't wear any earrings. They say, take it off first, then tell me, don't wear an earring. Maybe I will respond to you. But you're going to put on an earring and tell me not to do it? What are you playing with me? People don't accept this. So we tell them, Allah, Islam teaches this, Islam teaches that, Islam teaches that, and you are this weird, evil, extremely quick to be angry kind of person, where people just want to stay away from you. And the Prophet ﷺ, so these are the worst of people, the most evil people are the ones who people stay away from them because they fear they're evil. So your boss or something, you are afraid to approach him because if you do, he will blow up on you. These are the worst of people, Allah musta'an. May Allah guide us. And so if you have knowledge, you need to advise him. And usually the advice from a new Muslim to an old Muslim is expensive. So you come and tell him, say, Ya Akhi, I'm a new Muslim. And the way you are treating me is very bad. If Allah didn't guide me to Islam, you would have scared me away from Islam. You know, this will affect this individual. Because he will recognize that they still have some jealousy, even if they have a lot of shortcomings. Alhamdulillah, there's still some jealousy. They will recognize this advice. It will usually be beneficial. So a part of Islam is to give nasiha, advise the people, and be frank. Say, Akhi, you are my boss, I'm a Muslim, you're a Muslim. I don't understand why there's this big separation. Because you're the boss and I'm the employee, so you're the king and I'm the slave, or what's going on here? Which is the way people do it nowadays. If you're a driver, or if she's a maid at the house, even if they're Muslims, it's like they're a separate creation. Like they're human beings, and everybody else is half a human being. Ishada, this is all retardedness, huh? This has nothing to do with Islam. This is un-Islamic. So if your bosses, employees, whoever treats you in this fashion, understand that Islam doesn't allow them to do so. This is their own personal preferences and choices. Don't let them affect you. Know what Islam teaches. That you treat people with respect and honor. The elder, you respect them. And things along these lines. That's a sign that we need to stop. So we will stop. Any questions? Okay, this is a sign that I need to turn off the cell phone. Of course, it is advice for all the brothers to change any musical ringtones into the typical beep 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 kind of phone, or tarran tarran kind of stuff. Because I'm not going to deal with the ruling of music in Islam. This is for the future, inshallah. When you become more grounded in your iman and you're closer to Allah, will you be able easier to accept everything. But at least for now, for the sake of the people in the masjid, especially if you know this tune, which I know from my old ignorance days, if I heard it in the masjid right now, I will forget about the salah and I will start trying to remember the remaining of the tune or the words that are associated with it, or it will take me back to my ignorance days. So anyways, these songs that are on the cell phone go a long way. And they really disturb a lot of people, specifically if they know what they are. A lot of the people you see in the masjid have a Christmas song.
Yeah.
This thing drives me crazy, man. Yeah. It's like, this is Christmas. You don't even know Christmas. He's a, you know, he's from Pakistan or somewhere. He'd never know anything about it. And he would be, you know, I was like, I know this song over here, man. This is Jingle Bells or something like that. Anyways, so because of that, yani it's advised that we just have a regular, cool, regular tone. Because the objective of the phone is not for you to have entertainment every time it rings. It's for people to call you, say, we need you. So you say, okay, I'm on my way. You know? And then, you know, inshallah, you will be helping people in the masjid. In case you forgot to turn it off or put it on vibrate and it did ring, it will just be the old-fashioned, regular phone ring. And people will quickly forget, rather than bring in some memories of you know, old lifestyles and the girl you used to love and how you used to play the song for her. You know what I'm saying. Any questions? Huh? 25 minutes and 30 seconds so far. Turn it off. I record this. In case anybody gave me a hard time, say this is an evidence. I'm just playing. This is for the future Muslims, inshallah, in case we die. And then hopefully people will be able to benefit, inshallah, after we all die. If our intentions are correct. So any more questions?
Yes? Which one is the fifth?
Remember I told you there's a fifth one that I don't remember. I don't remember. If usually the brother, mashallah, the other brother, he I don't know how. But he's like much older than me. And supposedly the younger you are, the more you can retain. But the brother, and he's not even an Arab. This is amazing. But he tells me, oh, he said this, he said something.
Christmas day you pray.
Which the same message everybody prayed.
No, because I prayed here.
Where here?
Hadha,
the next door right here?
Yeah.
Samaha. Yeah, you go all the way, make a left and go all the way. Wallah, I don't know where we are right now.
Yes, I mean, we are here.
But anyways, I prayed in the masjid, the huge one where there's always bakhur burning, and there's, you know, the muezzin and the
because
imam. Wallah? Tayyib, next time, inshallah, oh, you want to give us the khutbah translation for the Isra and Mi'raj? You should come with us, ya Shaykh.
Yeah,
you would have maybe remembered the fifth thing. Anyways, there was a fifth thing that we're supposed to have. Maybe it was added among the things I said, maybe not. But whatever it is, it's something good. Anytime you find a good quality, know that Islam recommends it. Anytime you see a bad quality, know that Islam forbids it. It's as simple as that. Whether we specify it or not, it's a given. Islam is Islam and everything else is a bunch of empty balloons. Anything else? خلاص؟ You are dismissed.